Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, FemmeRegard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
Who fixes plumbing problems in a flash, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
But plumbing's one thing I don't understand. It's true.
Matt, this is one of the more interesting ones that we're about to dive into, I think, with the plumbing song. I'll knock out the Wikipedia factoid real quick here. The plumbing song is a double parody of Milli Vanilli's hit singles Baby Don't Forget My Number and Blame It on the Rain. In a 1992 interview with Dr. Demento, Yankovic said he believed the parody to be kind of redundant at that point in time, given the lip-syncing scandal that had effectively destroyed the band almost a full 2 years prior. In reference to this scandal, Yankovic also jokingly affirmed that he did indeed sing the lead vocals on the parody. Let me start with this. How much Milli Vanilli have you ever really listened to in your life? Because mine is none, basically.
Basically zero. I mean, I think the two Milli Vanilli songs I would know are the two that are referenced in this song.
Yeah. I intended to, but did not get around to it. I intended to watch, I think it's on either Peacock or Paramount Plus, is a three-part docuseries about the Milli Vanilli scandal.
Yeah.
That I think would be a fascinating watch. I truly do. But I also I remember watching the Behind the Music on them and finding that to be a fairly sad story. And I think that there's been talk of a Milli Vanilli movie for years. I mean, the fact that ultimately one of them took their own life years after the fact, it wasn't in 1991, but the effects of what happened and the just being a cultural mocking point for so long lingered. But I just even listening to this song, we talk about songs where Al's parody enhances how good the original songs were. I just don't think that these are particularly good or memorable pop songs out the gate.
Well, you know, the other, just to point out one more thing, I was saying I only know these two, and it's actually not true because the other big hit they had was Girl, You Know It's True.
Yes.
Which he references in this song, despite not parodying it. He uses that line.
I mean, Girl,
chorus.
You Know It's True is the most iconic one because it's when the whole scandal broke, was in a performance of Girl, You Know It's True. Any songs that I've ever heard by Milli Vanilli, I think they just kind of fall into a very generic, kind of forgettable late 80s, early 90s pop sound where how do I word this? Let's not pretend that if not for the lip sync scandal, that this would have been a band that 30 years later was still writing hit songs and
unlikely.
Yeah, they were a very time capsule group, which I guess also makes it kind of weird in an album where you've already tackled New Kids on the Block. Why go for another kind of just boy band that was known for dancing over singing type thing. Like it feels very redundant. I think redundant is the best word for Al to use to describe this parody.
Yeah, I agree. We talked about this a little bit in Taco Grande recently, but just to like put an even more fine point on it, to me, in terms of the parodies on this record on Off the Deep End, because this is the last parody on Off the Deep End, this is one of the most interesting like musical time capsules Al has ever made in terms of the song. Like when you look at the scope of the songs that he is parodying in this record, it is really, really an interesting marker in music. And the fact that, like, you know, New Kids on the Block is here, but Milli Vanilli, MC Hammer, Nirvana, and Gerardo. I mean, it's most of it, you know, I think this is, it applies to this song the most, but it's worth noting here, like, another thing we talked about just in the Taco Grande episode is this is a rare moment where it actually does kind of feel like in this parody, Al is a little bit punching down.
Yeah.
This is like, as was noted, he said himself it was redundant. These guys had already been dragged so hard for what happened here. And I always like to say that when Al does a parody, it's done through this lens of reverence and appreciation for the original. And I don't totally know that I feel that on this one.
Yeah. Well, and I also, but here's the only, I agree and I disagree on it being punching down. I agree that like there's no reason that he should have even put this on the record. Like at this point in time in 1992, there was no reason for this to be on the record. Milli Vanilli had long passed. He thinks the song is redundant. I'm almost positive that if we check Setlist FM, the song has never been performed live. Like there's no reason for it to have existed.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's punching down in the fact that at least the song's not about the source material. You know what I mean? Like if this was a parody song about lip syncing, I'd be like, "Ow, bad look, dude." Like,
yeah.
But I think it's honestly just a
I think the thing that throws me a little bit more is the fact that he chose to do two of them.
Yes.
Like, okay, so it's interesting, a double parody. I was going to say, leading up to this, I was like, this is the only time he ever did this. It's the only time he's ever done it quite like this. You could make the case that Bedrock Anthem is also a double parody, because he does a little bit of Under the Bridge before he goes into Give It Away. But that doesn't feel the same as this either.
Yeah, the Baby Don't Lose That Number feels like very just like last second. Or no, Blame It on the Drain is the one that pops up in the last couple seconds. Like,
yeah, you're right. You're right. It comes up towards the end here. I'm looking at the lyrics and I'm trying to find
think it shows up more because it's the most memorable, catchy part of this song.
Yeah.
Because the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-baby, I'm your plumber is not as catchy as the Blame It on the Drain. Like, that's actually a really catchy part in this parody.
Yeah. It is. It's just, I think the fact that he chose to parody two songs by this group who had been publicly shamed, it just seems like he's trying to further the joke that the joke is, lyrically, there's nothing about Milli Vanilli in this song, but I don't know why it feels to me like you doing it twice is just hammering the, making fun of them a little bit more.
Yeah.
That might just be me. I don't know. Something about it feels just like the littlest bit icky to me.
So I was looking to see, I wanted to like kind of get a rough idea of time frame. He didn't record these parodies until 1991. The Scandal was in 1990. So it's not even like he had already started it before the Scandal type situation. Like the Scandal had super happened. Because what I could argue was like, it could be a statement about how like easily, how basically he felt like all of the Milli Vanilli songs were very much the formulaic same thing, and that you could just seamlessly slide in between all of them without there being even the slightest situation. I mean, let's go devil's advocate. Let's go the total opposite. Maybe. maybe Al felt bad and thought, hey, this is a way to get them some money because they're having a lot of legal issues coming up. And
I guess that's possible. I don't know. I mean, you know, the other side of this is in the world of the music industry, this is the other side of this, right? It was very, very unfair for everyone to have blamed these two dudes.
To blame these two dudes. And like, let us not forget, this was at the exact same time or almost immediately afterwards was the CNC Music Factory situation.
Correct.
Where all of these, everybody dance now, is one of the Weather Girls, who is a very big woman.
Yeah.
And in the music videos, it's like the skinniest woman lip syncing it. And I'm pretty sure during most of the performances at that point, they just played the track and had that same woman on stage with them.
Yeah.
And it was not nearly to this level of a problem. And now it's like, it's a little bit different because like now, yes, when you're listening to a Britney Spears song, you are hearing Britney Spears actually singing, but like you can't, there's no person here who truly believes that Britney Spears is doing this insane cardio dance number and able to hold notes and sing the way.
Exactly. The idea that this is like, I reject the entire idea that this is in any way scandalous. You know, if you look it up, this is also like from back in the day. There was a lawsuit. Someone attempted to file a class action lawsuit to get refunds on the CD because these guys didn't sing. Like, everybody relax. Like, the number of times, like, these sorts of things happen, it's mind-blowing to me that people could be so offended at the idea that this is a manufactured pop group.
Yeah.
It's really not that much different from Milli Vanilli to loads of manufactured pop groups that go all the way back to, I mean, like, the Monkees. Are another great example.
Which was an equally weird situation because the Monkees, again, at their core, very talented musicians that just weren't allowed to perform the music.
No, they were getting pulled in all these directions by label executives and representatives. It's just people like saying, like, trust us, follow us down this path because this is where the money is. And I know it, you know, like, trust us, we know what we're doing. And then when it all hits the fan, none of those people are there.
No.
All those executives are behind the scenes, and it's these two poor guys standing on a stage being humiliated.
Humiliated. And they're acting like, oh, well, I never. Like,
yeah, exactly. And all these people are like, oh, I can't believe they would lie to us. Like, as if these two poor guys of Milli Vanilli, Rob and Fab, use their actual names.
Which, like, again, Matt, we've said this before. I feel like we've said this before. If someone came up to either one of us and was like, hey, we're going to give you more money than you've ever seen in your entire life, and all you have to do is dance in a music video for us, like, why would you not take that money? Like,
it's incredibly, it's very easy to talk, to say these sorts of things as just a random person sitting at home, like, I can't believe that they would do this.
It's like, you know, it's literally the Monday morning quarterback concept of like the
guys,
most out of shape dudes saying what they would have done if they were the quarterback.
Exactly. Like, these poor guys had their Grammy revoked.
Yeah. Which is, again, like, insane. Like,
that is insane. Like, by all means, give the Grammy to the guy who wrote the song or what, like, that's fine if you want to do that. Like, there's collaborations on these things all the time. But the idea that this, I mean, it's, I don't know. This seems to me like someone grabbed onto this as a story, and sure, it was controversial, and sure, they were trying to, you know, pull the wool. But all I'm saying is this happens all the time, and the fact that Milli Vanilli to this day are notable as a punchline like this is very, very unfair.
So let me ask you this question, because you and I are basically the same age, I think, given give or take a couple months.
Yeah,
I have only known Milli Vanilli as that band that was in the lip sync scandal.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, both of us are just young enough that we didn't experience what I guess in the very late 80s was a massive movement. Like, this big, like, from all that I understand, Milli Vanilli, because history is very unkind, but like, I understand that Milli Vanilli had a Beatles mania-like moment. like similar to most boy bands.
Yes. No, they were blowing up big time. And so actually that's interesting because that goes back to the thing you said early is like, we don't know. Like yeah. maybe they would have actually continued on an upwards trajectory here.
Yeah,
maybe it would have been a big thing for them. I don't know. You know, as we're talking, I'm looking up here and just to give some more context to the idea of what happened to these guys. They were, you know, handed songs and told again, like, dance on screen. We don't need you to record vocals for this. You're fine. And one of them said in an interview talking to Frank, who was the producer and the writer of the material. So he said, we would ask Frank, when are we going to be allowed to give some artistic input? And he would say, yes, yes, eventually. But right now we need you to go out and do promotion. Of course, you'll get to do it. Just keep working with us.
Yeah.
So they were told, like, follow us right now. We understand you're not doing anything now, but we're going to build it up to a certain point. We're going to get it to a certain level of fame and success. And then once we get you there, then you'll be able to do your own thing, which I'm sure was absolute bullshit from the jump. That was never going to be the case. But this was just an older guy writing these songs who knew he couldn't put his own face out there. The guy who produced for them and wrote for them, Frank Farian, who was in the group Boney M.
Oh, I know Boney M. Yeah.
Yeah, Boney M were a notable disco funk band from the 70s and 80s. Exactly, exactly. And again, their time had passed and he was just, this guy was looking for something new. And he created Milli Vanilli as a way to write for a younger group.
Yeah. So it was during like COVID and election chaos. I remember listening to a podcast where they were trying to explain like, the more people that are in on a lie, there is going to be a breaking point where the truth mm-hmm. is revealed, yep. right? And they said, like, theoretically, it would have taken 30 people to fake the moon landing. So with 30 people faking the moon landing, it would have come out that the moon landing was faked within 6 months. Like,
amazing.
So, like, the thing is, there was definitely enough people who knew the secret of Milli Vanilli, that if the record skipping thing didn't happen, mm-hmm. something was going to
happen. It would have happened eventually.
Eventually would have happened. And I'll be honest, part of me, if I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat and be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist, a little bit, I know that the record companies are savage. I wouldn't be shocked if they intentionally manufactured a CD skip to get them out of the way of that inevitable truth that was going to come out. Like,
it is entirely possible. Maybe they were pushing back too hard, and maybe they would be like, hey, we need to start doing this ourselves. And they yeah. were like, well, there's one way to end this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, and that, again, that is a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, but just knowing how savage the record company is, I yeah. could see them intentionally burning down their own cash cow just to make sure that they're not in the line of sight when all the shit goes down.
Like, yeah.
Hi, listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, femregard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Look, we're 17 minutes into the plumbing song.
I know, and we've really only talked about Milli Vanilli.
That may or may not be reflected in where we rank this.
Well, I do want to, let's take a moment and let's talk about the positive sides of this track, okay? Because it does do a thing that I like, that Al has done before, which is that this is like, I love the setup at the beginning. I never really appreciated this until now, that this is like a fake commercial. Like, okay. You've got the announcer introduces the thing, the who fixes plumbing problems in a flash, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like spoken like a, you know, a voiceover guy. And then the song actually starts. And this is essentially, this is a commercial. That's what Al's doing in this track. It's to jump incredibly far into the future. Because I always love to, when I listen to these, think about the song that has the most similar DNA. And actually, for this song, the thing I keep thinking about when I listen to it is Handy.
Yeah.
The Iggy Azalea parody that he did way, 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 way later. But that covers similar lyrical terrain. It's a comparable concept. I would make the case, I think that is a way more effective parody than this. But I like the idea of taking the hit popular pop song and spinning it. You know, we've talked before about, we talked about it through the lens of Spatula City.
Yeah.
Which was like a style parody and an actual original song, quote unquote. But this is that same idea of like, this has the vibe of the public access, very local cable guy trying to come up with a jingle for his small business and stealing the hook from a notable song to see if he can drive his point home a little bit better. And that conceptually I like. I like that idea. And there's some reasonably funny lines in here about
I'm a fan of a mensch. I'm a mensch with a wrench line is a good one.
Yes.
Lily Hirsch, who we just recently had on the podcast talking about Taco Grande in her book, Weird Al, seriously, actually references that line as one of the many examples of Al using Yiddish, which led to people thinking Al was Jewish for a long period of time.
That's right. Yeah, Al does have a healthy amount of Yiddish and Jewish influence in his songs. Yes, using Better Call the Mensch with a Monkey Wrench is we probably can credit Al to be the first person to rhyme those two words.
It's a good chance,
history of songwriting. Yeah, and I mean, you know, that is probably the most funny and clever line in the entire song. And as I referenced before, in terms of just purely being clever, I like the ba 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 kitchen's flooded too. And then doing the girl, you know, it's true to rhyme with the flooding of the kitchen is managing to get his third Milli Vanilli reference into this song.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? This guy makes more than my lawyer. If he works for one day, costs you half a year's pay. He can be here by two. So if you've got, you know, also the structure of this song is weird enough that even reading the lyrics on the page feels odd. You know what I mean? They don't actually even read like lyrics. He can be here by two. So if you've got cash, he'll be there in a flash, making service calls in his overalls. I mean, okay.
It's he'll a good line. It works for me.
Yeah. And again, at the end there, maybe the most fun part of the song. Got a problem with plumbing, got to blame it on something, blame it on the drain. It was clogging, blame it on the faucet that drips all night. If hairballs, grease, and goo won't let the water through, blame it on the drain. And he gets a Roto-Rooter reference in there. I don't know, do people still know about Roto-Rooter? Is that still a thing?
I barely remember what Roto-Rooter is, actually.
It was a franchised plumbing service. So like there was a Roto-Rooter it's almost like a, you know, like I guess the car equivalent would be like an AutoZone or a Pep Boys or something like that. But you could call Roto-Rooter and they would come to your house. There was like one in every city. Oh. That was the idea anyway. So I guess that's not a thing so much anymore, but I do remember that from my childhood, or maybe just as a joke. It's a funny phrase to throw into your song.
I mean, the phrase Roto-Rooter brings
a
smile. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You love it. You got to love the feel of this. So I guess we are now indeed approaching the rankings on this one. There is something about this is so absolutely bizarre to me that I want to like it more, but I don't.
Yeah. So
I just don't. I think, and as I said, I don't want to, you know, be too on the nose with, or I don't want to accuse, I don't want to be throwing around an accusation.
Yeah.
But it really does seem to me like it feels to me like this parody is poking fun of Milli Vanilli in a way that does not seem necessary. It's redundant. That's Al's word I'm going to use. And I don't know. I feel a little too badly for them and for the way that that all went down to feel good about this. And again, maybe it's just the fact that he manages to squeeze in three references to this group, or maybe it's the fact that I don't find the rest of it to be especially funny, that the joke seems to be more about the original source material than about anything he's saying in the song.
No, 100%. I mean, at this point in time, we have a new entrant to the my bottom top or my bottom five. It's just a matter of where in that bottom for me. And I think the only song I'm willing to listen to this more than is Toothless People. We like to have a lot of fun with I Want a New Duck on this podcast, but I Want a New Duck is incredibly, infinitely more re-listenable than the plumbing song to me. So I'm putting it above Toothless People, below Want a New Duck. It is my second least favorite parody thus far. So my bottom five is now Stop Dragging My Car Around, Brady Bunch, I Want a New Duck, the plumbing song, and Toothless People in Dead Last.
I'm going to, I like that you said it's, I Want a New Duck is infinitely better, because I am going to put this just above I Want a New Duck.
I didn't say it was infinitely better. I said it was more re-listenable.
More re-listenable? I guess maybe that's fair. No, I give this some credit for being just a very unique Al parody.
Yeah.
This is truly the only time he's ever done anything like this. And that, I think, is worthy of bumping it above I Want a New Duck. But yeah, it's uninspired, I think. And as I said, I feel like he's going to come back to this sort of like the commercial meets fixing your pipes concept a lot later. And I'm going to enjoy it a lot more. But yeah, I don't know. The Milli Vanilli thing, I think, is just, you know what? Honestly, actually, I think what it reminds me of the most is the feeling that I had, and this is a way less dramatic example, but it actually reminds me of the feeling I had on Buckingham Blues.
Yes.
Which is that some part of this is just like, I just don't think this is aged very well. And I think the joke, the subject matter, even just parodying Milli Vanilli at all now feels loaded in a way that maybe, I think it probably did at the time, honestly. But it's something about it just doesn't sit great with me. Even if it was the funniest parody in the world, I think I still would be like, I just don't know how I feel about this.
Well, Matt, we'll read your bottom five real quick with we got Stop Dragging My Car Around, Aisle Thing, Plumbing Song, I Want a New Duck, but you agree with me still that Toothless People is the worst.
Toothless People remains at the bottom. I will say I had a moment when we were pondering before we started this episode and I was listening to this again, I was like, this is, I thought for a minute it actually could be a very bottom song.
I again, for me, it literally came down to re-listenability, stuff that I remember, and it's like, for as bad as I Want a New Duck is, I still remember it and can sing along with it, whereas when I think of the plumbing song, I really only think of the chorus and the Blame It on the Drain portion, and Toothless People, I still can't remember a damn thing about Toothless People.
Toothless People is impressively forgettable.
Yeah.
And again, I actually think a lot of that is we
Mick
can
Jagger's
blame that
fault.
On Mick Jagger.
It is worth doing a quick shout out. I think this episode will come out before we record it, but boy, if you have some hot takes, we've had some controversial episodes between last week's Airline Amy, and maybe you're a big fan of the plumbing song. Maybe you think we have it completely wrong and Milli Vanilli deserved to be punched down on for some reason. This is the time to get your emails into
or just that this is a celebration of Milli Vanilli and that I'm not right about that at all and that this is Al trying to defend. You mentioned that, Matt. It's not out of the question. I keep going back to that quote Al had about it being redundant. So.
Redundant, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, weirdalgorithmpodcast@gmail.com or just go on our website. What's that website there, Matt?
Oh, it's weirdalgorithmpodcast.com.
Both sources, you can send us an email and we'll read it on the show. We've got,
that's true. We are approaching a mailbag. I forgot about that.
We're very close to a mailbag.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. And we'll be back next week with the last episode for Off the Deep End.
Wow.
listeners. I'm Carolina.
And I'm Tessa. And together we are Femme Regard Podcast.
Femme.
We are a show dedicated to educating and entertaining underdeveloped filmmakers and film enthusiasts alike.
We love sharing our experiences as filmmakers, what we've learned and what we've gone through.
And we love bringing on professional industry guests.
We want our listeners to learn from the best and get an honest account of the biz.
So come join the Femme Fam and give us a listen every Friday.
Streaming on all the major podcast platforms, including YouTube and our website, femregard.com. And of course, the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.